Okay, good evening, Abba Isai. We're starting Simon Shin Hei tonight, page 188. It's a fascinating concept. Just the concept itself, I think, is worth a bit of thought. And we should ponder about this halacha of Bameh Behem Ayoitza of Shabbos. Yesterday we spoke about Shvisas Eved, about the obligation for a master to look after his slave resting. Today, we're going to be looking at the halachas of Shvisas Behema. We are obligated, the Pasuk says, we're obligated to ensure that our animals are resting on Shabbos. Conceptually, it's something which is really, really hard to understand and to fully comprehend. What does it mean? Why do I need to ensure that my animals are resting on Shabbos? So the prime example is that I'm not allowed to make my animals plow on Shabbos. I hear that. I'm not allowed to make my animals plow on Shabbos. And if my animals plows on Shabbos, I have to stop the animal from doing so. Similarly, if the animal is doing any particular work on Shabbos, I can hear that my ox and my cow must rest, as it were, on Shabbos. But when it comes to doing melochas, like harisha, zriya, I can hear it, and it's something which I can comprehend. It gets a bit more complex when we start thinking about, well, how is an animal allowed to actually eat on Shabbos? Because by eating, by pulling the grass off the ground, it's obviously melochas as well. And is that a problem or not? But our siman discusses something which in a way is really needs some consideration and thought. How siman, this is the name of the siman, is Bameh Behem Ayoitzes B'Shabbos. What is an animal allowed to carry on Shabbos? And obviously it's not talking about the handbag and the umbrella, but it's talking about things which are on the animal. And yes, you are, when you have an animal, there is restrictions on what is permitted on the to just to be on the animal. What about a saddle? What about the yes, you're right. This is really absolutely good question. Absolutely good question. We are, you're 100% correct. We are within the halachas of Hoitzah. This is that when we learn that an animal has got restrictions, and we're going to see soon what the pasuk exactly is, there is the same halachas that apply with regards to caring for a human being, for yid, so the same halachas apply with regards to an animal as well. So it may sound initially bizarre, but the truth is that yes, animals have got the same halachas, and there is certain things which an animal is not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Certain things are allowed to be on the animal, certain things are not allowed to be on the animal. And the basic rule of thumb is that we're going to look at as to whether it's a masur or tachshi, just like we'll do with regards to a human. With a human, we had clear regulations and clear guidelines. Something which is a tachshit, a piece of jewelry, is permitted to be on the human, and something which is a masui, anything which is not a malbush, not something to wear, and not a jewelry, not a piece of jewelry which enhances the appearance of the human. So if it's not a malbush and it's not a tachshit, it's considered a masui, a burden. And that's going to be awesome. We spoke about countless examples throughout Simon Shin Aleph and Simon Shin Gimel. But here we're going to address that the same applies also with regards to the animal. The animal also has got the same halachas, that certain things are considered a masui, which is not allowed to be on the animal. And this is the case unless it's a tachshit or a malbush. But what does it actually mean in terms of an animal?
But grass.
Yeah, that is mutter.
He has to eat.
Right, muzzle. And the muzzle is going to be very, very clearly one of the first Sif, in fact, Sif Aleph, will discuss really the muzzle. Is the animal allowed to go out with a muzzle, yes or no? And clearly this initially sounds like a very bizarre thing, but if you think about it, no. There is a halacha that an animal must rest on Shabbos, and rest is defined by the Lamed Tes Melachos, and one of the Lamed Tes Melachos is Hoitzah, and how is Hoitzah defined? By carrying anything which is a burden. So we also need to know with regards to the animal, what is considered a burden or not. How do you think, what do you think about it?
What about with people in the area who walk their dog? In the area, and the dog's got
the lead.
Yeah,
the lead.
Have a blanket on him. Technically, that's
terrible. Very good. This is the perfect, beautiful shaila, which will be addressed by the Shulchan Aruch, no less. What about the blankets on the animal? Is this okay or not? What about blankets on a human, Lahavdil? Oh, very good. That's exactly the discussion. Is it considered that wearing or not? Because if it is wearing, then it's fine. But it, perhaps it's not considered wearing, and there will be a problem. That's exactly what we're discussing. Mamash, that's the discussion. And we're going to be defining now what is considered something which is worn by an animal, and hence it will be okay. And what is considered actually an additional luxury item or a non-necessary item, and that will therefore be also. So that's exactly what we're talking about. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is going to discuss. I want to see the first words of Shulchan Aruch. They're going to Mishneh Berurah Seif Katan Aleph, who's going to give us a little bit more of that information. So, Bameh Bohema Yoitzo B'Shabbos. With what is an animal allowed to go out on Shabbos? Seif Aleph Bohema Yoitzes. An animal is allowed to go out. Okay, let's stop over here. Let's go straight into Mishneh Berurah Seif Katan Aleph. Behema Yoitzes. Behine Ksev. Mishneh Berurah tells us in Seif Katan Aleph. He says in the Pasuk, Leman, in order, Yonuach, Shoicha, Vechamoicha. Your animal should rest. Your Shoicha, your oxen, and your donkey should rest. Leman, Yonuach. It should rest on Shabbos. We go in. Pasuk says, the animal should rest. Animal should rest. I don't know why the animal has to rest on Shabbos. I'm being serious. I'm trying to understand it. Why is that?
Because you might be benefiting from his work.
It sounds like it's something beyond that. It sounds like a Yiddish animal must rest on Shabbos. Look at the words of Mishneh Berurah. Hari ziro toira shegam behemas Yisrael tonuach b'Shabbos. My animals must rest on Shabbos.
The fields must rest on the Shmita as well.
So yeah.
It's no more unusual than that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the halach. It needs to...
It works that way.
Again, that
Hashem creates the world a certain way with a certain bria, and even it's not just the people who have das to be machria make choices about whether
to do malach. Even beyond bria,
yeah, it's other creations of Hashem also have to reflect the bria and the.
Hear. Sounds like a maral. It sounds like a very beautiful. What were you saying? Ma'aseh Ayin. So no, it is not connected to Ma'aseh Ayin. There is an outcome with that, which is Ma'aseh Ayin related, but this is a Torah halacha. This is the Reise, that an animal must rest on Shabbos. A Yiddish animal must rest on Shabbos. It's interesting. Same animal, if it's transferred to a Goyish ownership, can do whatever it wants on Shabbos. But as long as it's within the Yiddish ownership, it has to rest. It doesn't make a difference. That's what he says. The man, you know,
the animal must rest. Can't you sell it on Shabbos to a
guy
like you do for Pesach, and then you buy it back after Shabbos?
Very good question. So, in principle, in pure halacha meikra din, you are right that this, in principle, from a Torah perspective, would work. It's my animal on Shabbos. Excuse me. It's my animal from Motzei Shabbos till Friday afternoon, and on Shabbos it's transferred to ownership to a goy, a partnership. Now, this Medin Torah absolutely works, but you can appreciate that it's against the spirit of the law, and there's the Rabbanon restrictions. Having said that, I want to say something on this Rabbanon. This is a footnote, a historical footnote. And we are not used to possessing, I mean, I don't know how many farms you've got in the back garden. You've got cows in the back garden? Mishpachas Gun, pardon? Yeah. So we are not used to having such. But historically, many Yidden, the panos of many Yidden was many of our great grandparents. Their income, the source of income was came from the animals, right? They had farms, they had cows. I don't know, maybe Mishpachas Kegin, lions and tigers, which were in the back garden. Yeah. Yeah, so the that was historically, yeah, wherever your ancestors were from, maybe from some areas more than from others, but certainly many Eden, for many, many centuries, that was a prime source of income. So for them, this was a very critical problem. I've got cows. I've got perhaps chickens. I've got oxen. And what am I meant to do with them on Shabbos? So it was a very, very serious, very real shaila about ownership, owning. If you've got cows, just to milk them on Shabbos. I mean, there's countless shailas. There's one place in Eretz Yisrael which has got, which is Fum Farmers, the whole city, the whole village is Fum Farmers. I was there once for Shabbos. Fascinating experience. Fascinating about Mendelssohn, his love there in Kamiyas. It's unbelievable. It's a fascinating experience. I was there once for Shabbos. There you can still feel it a little bit. The Yiddish farmers on tractors with long pears. You know, it's a beautiful experience. But then he was a real shaila about ownership. One of the many shailas that discussed was partnership, halachic partnerships with goyim, something which was very commonly done. I want to tell you just on a brief note, just a personal story on that. Personal story on that because it was you're reminding me. My great grandfather came from a family of they were business, they were businessmen, and they were very wealthy. They were very wealthy, and they lived in Unstorf, that's in northern Hungary, and they lived off. They had various businesses, and one of them was they had animals. They had farms. They possessed farms, and one of my great great grandfather called Moshe Ayrot, he was very wealthy, and he came from a very wealthy. And he was very yakish. He was very yakish, but there was for a bit of time, the Divrei Chaim, the Tzanzer Rebbe, lived in Altendorf, which wasn't far from there. And my grandfather, despite being a yakker, my ancestor, despite being a yakker, he was nifter some 120 years ago. Despite being a yakker, he liked to go to the tish of the Divrei Chaim. It was the Chaim, the Tzanzer Rebbe was there, so he was a yakki. He had a top hat and everything, but he liked to go to the tish of the Divrei Chaim. He liked it. He just enjoyed going to the tish of the Divrei Chaim, of the famed Tzanzer Rebbe. And at one point, he went there a little bit, and he went every now and then. He went. And at one point, some of the chassidim said, this rot, with his top hat and his yakish beard, it's not really his place to be here. It's a bit out of place. And the Divrei Chaim then said, watch out for this person. Watch out for this person. He's gonna be paskening shailas for others. He's gonna be paskening shailas. And he said that watch out because he's makbit when he comes to partnership shailas. He's very machmir when it comes to partnership shailas on animals on Shabbos. I know that he's very machmir. He doesn't do any of this partnerships business, and he's very machmir in that area. So one day he's gonna paskin shailas for others. Although he wasn't mamash a young person, he was already middle aged by then. But that's what the Divrei Chaim said, and the chassidim were quiet. The Rebbe says to honor him, so they'll honor him. They wouldn't have thought of it themselves, but they honored. So finally, it took a mamash a few years later, a short time later, he lost his business on a very dramatic way, in a very, very short, everything, his whole panasa went down the drain, and everything went completely. He went bankrupt, Bekitzer. And then he was approached by Kehillas that, he's got leadership qualities, and was a very big Talmid Chacham to maybe take over a community next door. And initially was very reluctant, but then he realized that the reality of Parnassah forced him to accept the job. And he accepted the job, and from there went afterwards. He was there for a number of years. Eventually, he took up a very big kehillah, Papa, which was the second biggest kehillah in Hungary, and he became the Rav then. And the rest is history. So I'm just saying that was my great-great-grandfather, Schusser Generin, Moshe Ayrot. So that's right. So Leman Yonuach Shoicha VeChamoicha. So this halacha of Hoitzah with regards to Shabbos, which needs to be understood, and the Mishnebu carries on with the following words: Harizira Torah Kshigam Behemas Yisrael Tonuach BeShabbos. A Yiddish animal needs to rest on Shabbos. VeLav Dafke Behemah, not only a behemah, a heavy animal, who had an oifois v'chol balechaim, also birds. If you've got birds, you have to ensure that it's not Mechal Shabbos. V'chol balechaim, any animal. So if you've got taka lions in your back garden, and you've got any animal for that matter, you have to ensure. L'man yunuach shoicha v'chamoicha. V'lochen davka k'sheh teitze b'dovah shul lo l'shmira. So now, Shulchan Aruch says that, the Mishnah Berurah says the key words, which is going to be the key and essential definition for the whole siman. How do we define malbush, tachshit, with regards to an animal? What's acceptable and what not? What would you say is acceptable for an animal? As a category, as a rule? Is it about, what is it about? When would you say something, an animal needs to have something? What is different? What, how do you define it? What makes something into a malbush? What makes something for an animal to malbush? I understand for human, it's what makes me wearing something, and that's what I need to cover my body. But an animal is not normally covering its body, so what is it that is considered a prerequisite for an animal to walk out with? How would you define? What is it? Harmed! Harmed, that's the key word. Shmira, whatever helps the animal to be guarded, that's permissible. But anything that is not for guarding is questionable. That's what it says. Anything which is to guard and look after the animal, have a tachshit ve'ucha. That's considered a tachshit and is okay. That's the equivalent of a person's malbush. But something which the animal doesn't need for its safeguard and its security, have a masui, is considered a masui, v'osun is also. For ding sheteitze, pameshi shmira yisera lefinyono, lavurcha b'ochi gamken b'chal masui v'osun. Mishnah Berurah tells us, anything which is shmira related, guarding, is okay. But anything which the animal doesn't need for guarding, is a problem. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says over here. An animal is allowed to go out with something that it's guarding it. But if it's an item which is not guarding the animal, it's an additional, it's an extra load. It's considered load. Whatever the animal needs to be guarded, it's fine. Whatever the animal doesn't need to be guarded is considered a masui. V'chein. Simply called over shulinoi, something which is for beauty, for cosmetic reason, for the animal to look nicer. Shulinoi v'dolishim olo yisetzi, but it's not to go out with. So something just makes the animal nicer. What would be an example for that? Yeah, what would be tachshit for an animal? Which is just to make the animal look nicer. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, anything which is just for appearance, that's also. And that's different than a human. But however, whatever makes the animal guarded is mutter. Hilkach, nako, yoitzis, b'zama v'parzolo. A female donkey is allowed to go with the zama v'parzolo, which is yutabash shel bazel, which is an iron, a metal ring shel bazel. For noikev chotome machnisa boy, you make a hole in the nose of the donkey, and you're putting a metal piece, you're inserting it. That's mutter. Why is it mutter? It's guarding it. Yeah, that's right. V'chamo luva bepago de parzalo, which is the hainu brigo, v'agamol beafso shekavishtu. These are v'peret v'chamoyu. These are muzzles. Various types of muzzles is mutter for the animal. Why is a muzzle okay for the animal? Which could hurt itself. Yes. A muzzle is a way of protecting the animal.
Yeah, but maybe it's making the animal frustrated.
Yes, correct. It may make the animal frustrated, but at the same time, the animal doesn't have sufficient das to look after itself. It doesn't know what is safe and what isn't at many times. And therefore, we as the owners need to ensure it is safe, and that's how we're ensuring its safety, and that's why it is mutter. For pair of chamoyer, also a mule and a donkey. Vesus, a horse. Yoitzim beafsoi beresen shu pinu avoloi b'shneim. He may have an afsa, which is an afsa, which is a type of muzzle. Avoloi beresen shu pinu avoloi b'shneim. You can't go with a muzzle and a resen, which is, what's a resen again? A resen is, a resen, which is a resen is a rope. You can't have a muzzle and a pardon.
Rain.
That's right. A rein and a muzzle would be too much. Why is it? You don't need both. It's safe and secure without both of them, and that's why it becomes a masu. It's also one of them is fine. V'avoloi b'shneim. Motelikro chevel afsa soviv tzavol v'teitze boy. You have to take a rope, a rein around its neck, and it's allowed to go out with it. Why is it okay? A rope around the neck of the animal. It's protecting it. That's how it doesn't run away. And again, I need to look after the animal because it can't look after itself. And you're not allowed to put even you're allowed to put it on top, the thing on top. But it's not allowed to lean too much on it. So whatever it's for security purpose, that will be acceptable. See if base. What if I have a string which is in the mouth of the horse? So you have something which is attached to the mouth of the horse. So that's also, it's masui. If you've got a kind of attachment in the mouth, which presumably makes you not eat, or makes you not bite or something, that's not for the safety of the animal. It's for you. It's not, and therefore it's considered, it's not guarded with it, and therefore it's also. Lots is chamoy bepumbayo, which is a muzzle, also. A donkey is also with a muzzle. Why? Why is a donkey not allowed to go out with a muzzle? It doesn't need it. A donkey doesn't need a muzzle, and therefore it's considered oitzo. Kol behemos shasukeo roim, if you've got a wild animal, hafal pishen shen bnois minol tzicho, is loisho shmiro ve tzicho, mutu lot seizbo. What if you've got a particularly wild horse, and he needs a very special type of muzzle, which most horses don't require? Is he allowed to go out with it? Yes or no? Binyamin? He does. Why? He needs it. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Kol behemos shasukeo roim, if you've got a wild animal, this particular animal is wild. Hafal pishen bnois mino, although its colleagues, tzricho is la'oisa shmira, its other animals do not need it. V'hi tzricho, but it needs it. Motor lotzis bo, she's allowed to go, that animal is allowed to go with it. Balei hashir, kugoin klovim shel tzayodim. We're talking about animals whose balishu, which need a rein. Going klovim shel tzayodim, dogs of tzayodim of hunting. That's right, hunters, dogs. For chayus ktanus and small animals, sheishlem kiminat tzados of tzavaron, they've got something attached there. Next, the tabas kvua ba, and is a ring attached to that. It's like a kind of, it's a bit like it's like something which is around the neck, and is a, pardon?
Collar.
Is that, yeah, collar, yeah. Yeah, a tight collar, which has got a ring attached to that. The tabas kvua machnisen bo retsua, and you pull inside in a retsua string. Umayish chino isabo, and you pull it through it. Muta sheyetsa b'shira kochal tzavon. It's muta. For yicholim l'mashchubem, you can pull them with them. So again, animals such as hunters, dogs, have to go with a collar, which have got a rope attached to it. Why? It's for its own security. Otherwise, it might go wild and it might go get lost. So it's for its own safety, for itself to be guarded, to be looked after. It's allowed to go out with that kind of collar. And ayelim yoytzim levuvim. This is ayelim zchorim. The males, you're allowed to go levuvim. What does that mean? V'oyer shekoshim lemtachas achusam. It's a piece of leather which is tied underneath them. Sholayalu nekevos, that they shouldn't go ala nekevos on the females. V'arichelos yoytzei shechuzos. V'shekoshim alosan klape malo. They also have to have some cover. Kedei shealu alem aschorim minut al aschorim shuga on them. V'yoytzei kevunos. They're allowed to go kevunos, which means v'shekoshim beget zvivon lishmer atzemes shenok. That's very interesting. Kevunos means that when they've got wool, you're allowed to put a protecting layer over their wool. Beget zvivon lishmer atzemes. You're allowed to have a layer of material over their wool in order to protect the wool from getting dirty. How do you justify that? They're allowed to go with a protecting layer over the wool. Just for the wool not to get dirty. Yeah. Emotionally, your question is a very good question. I don't have the full understanding of that. Why are you allowed to protect the wool? Yeah. Oh. Maybe, perhaps, if it gets too dirty, it may cause infections. Yeah. And therefore, Naftali's point is right. Naftali says it's different. So it's different, mostly, than clothing. Because clothing, there's no such chashash. You're not allowed to protect our clothing, right, from rain or something. You're not allowed to protect. because the wool is part of the animal, therefore you're allowed to cover it. Very good pshat, very good pshat. This is, the female ones, in order if they are nursing their babies, so you're allowed to, may also to allow that. For dafka kshikosh nursing condition, it's tamkut dem v'lo yechalvu toz mehadik shapir. So depending if you want her baby calves or whatever it may be, then you're allowed to put that equipment there. That's fine if you wish to do so. Toz mehadik shapir valim kosha kedei lishma yichalvon shelo yipol aretz also v'lo mehadik shapir chashin ondil menofel v'osel asuyeh. To have a female, and you want to ensure for it not to be nursing its babies, so that's fine. As long as you're not doing this, as long as you're putting anything underneath it to collect the milk, because that would be also. Why is it also to collect the milk? If you've got a kind of keli which collects the milk, that's not protecting it. That's not protecting it, and that's going to be also. But if you're doing it because you want to wean off the babies from being nursed, that would be permitted. That's considered guarding. Right. And, okay, we'll stop over here. Just to recap what we covered tonight. We spoke about Pameh Yoitza Habehimba B'Shabbos. We spoke about this Issa Torah of Leman Yonuach Shoicha V'Chamoicha, that we have to ensure that our animals are not, that they're also, resting on Shabbos, and that is also including the halacha of hoitzah b'Shabbos. How we define hoitzah b'Shabbos, and anything which is guarding the animal is permitted. Whatever is not guarding the animal is also. And so we are defining what is called mishtameres and what not. And we gave various examples: what is considered a guarding item and what not. And we interestingly also spoke about guarding the wool, which is permitted, and more examples tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem. Good evening.